good to be back in the land of San Antonio. Pastor Bez, if you ever have a question about how your tithe is being invested, there is no one more frugal and that pinches pennies better than your pastor. That is a blessing when you tithe, not a blessing when you travel with the tithe money and he buys the very cheapest tickets you can discover on planet Earth. You know what that talk, have you ever been in a situation where you know it shouldn't have worked out but God? Right? Has that happened to you where you know there's no chance, this is not going to work, but then God just surprises you to show you you're really not that big of a deal. He's a bigger deal. He can do things you can't. So flying back, praise the Lord, on this cheap budget ticket, I flew 3 hours to LAX, an hour and a half layover, and then 3.5 hours to San Antonio to get around San Antonio at midnight. And I was like, praise the Lord. We're doing the budget for the church. Amen. That's a blessing. So that flight, though, was delayed, right? No big deal. But they were delayed for an hour. So they were going to land at 6:15 instead of 5. My flight back to San Antonio was going to be departing at 6:30. So we land at 6:15 on the tarmac. 6:30, we're at the bridge. And I think, okay, well, maybe our gate is next to each other. No, they're a mile apart. Praise the Lord. And then I think, well, maybe, you know, people will move quickly because I'm on the back of the plane. But praise the Lord, I got behind that Hispanic senior citizen. And he's not just a senior citizen as far as his walk, but he has to say hi to everybody. You met that guy when you're in a hurry and he's like, hey, how you doing? And no one's a stranger. You're like, not the time to make friends. I'm trying to make my connection. I'm getting off the plane at 6:40. All right, the other plane's supposed to leave at 6:30. And I think, well, you know what? Just do your best, right? I guess this is why you've been having me run twice a week, Lord. I'm ready. And so I'm realize quickly how out of shape I am. And I'm running. And, you know, I'm carrying a 30-pound suitcase and I dropped the little, praise the Lord, the little airplane pillow my wife packed me, and this guy's shouting back and I have to run back to get the airplane pillow, and I'm running up to the gate and this lady's like, where's your boarding ticket? I'm like, I don't have one. They wouldn't give me one. She's like, what's your name? And she said, don't worry, we held the plane for you. I was like, okay, Lord, okay. This shouldn't have worked out, but God. Amen. You've been there? Man, you know, God is so good to humble himself in our circumstances, in the details of our life, isn't he? He's a good God. And tonight's a budget meeting, so it's good to see many of you. Amen. I'm glad you're here. But tonight, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs. We've been going through this study about the strange woman and the wise woman. And I want you to know that my heart in this study is not from a place of anger or distrust, but I really want to help because I truly believe in the last days, in the day and age we live in, the Antichrist world exalts the strange woman and makes fun and mocks of the wise woman. And I want my daughter to know that there is a Bible and there is a God who says she is valuable despite what the world says is valuable. And so let's look at that tonight. That's my heart. I think probably, Lord willing, there's not an out-and-out strange woman. And we're going to see what defines her, an adulteress, a harlot, the Bible calls her. But I do believe that in our society, the strange woman's features, her characteristics, are said that that's what we want our ladies to be. And I'm here to tell you that there's a God that says, ladies, you have more value than that. And we'll compare her and contrast her to the wise woman of the book of Proverbs. And I think this is imperative also for my son and young men, because young men, You need to know you will be tested by the strange woman. It's not if, it's when. Amen? And the strange woman is not just if you're in your teens or in your 20s, but what I've discovered as a pastor is many men in their 30s and 40s meet her as well. And there's a price to pay if you ignore some of the warnings. So I believe God has a warning, honestly, for us all, men and women, as well as an encouragement, especially for the ladies, about the wise woman. So take our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. I know I've shared this passage. I just want to use it as a launching. And then we'll look at the strange woman's mouth and the strange woman's attire and contrast that to the wise woman. But look at Proverbs chapter 7. And this is a good warning. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll discover Solomon spent a lot of time warning his son about this lady. A lot of it. And sometimes you're like, really, God? I mean, how much do we need to know about the strange woman? Well, the Lord put it in here for a reason, man. Amen? So Proverbs chapter 7, look at verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. That's his window opening. And beheld among the simple ones, that would be a young man. I discerned among the youths a young man void of what? He didn't have wisdom. We're going to see wisdom as men is to recognize the strange woman and avoid her. The Bible says go from her. Look at verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house in the twilight and the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent, that word impudent means unashamed. Unashamed. And I think, man, that is the culture we live in. When women can come and be on TVs and movies and show up to the workplace half naked, unashamed. Why? Because they've been given a lie that this is their value. This is what will bring them what they want, that attraction, they get their validation from this. And it's very sad. But in an impudent face, I've done nothing wrong. I have peace offerings with me. Ooh, verse 13 shows she can be in church. You see how she's spiritual? She had just come from the temple. That's where they gave peace offerings. Don't be deceived at thinking the strange woman's just in Hollywood or the strange woman is just on the illegitimate websites and magazines. No, the strange woman many times will show up in your workplace, will show up in your church. This lady was there and she said, I had peace offerings with me this day. I paid my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee. What? Ooh, she's diligent. She's hardworking. To seek thy face, and I have found thee. Verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. Man, everything sounds nice. You know, we still have bed sheets that we call Egyptian. Isn't it crazy? Not much has changed. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come at the day appointed. In verse 21, with her much fair what? Speech. She caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, a bird hasteth to the snare, and what? Knoweth what? Not that it is for his what? His life. His life. So, you will find yourself tested, men. And young women, you will find yourself tempted with the lie that stolen waters and bread eaten in secret is sweet. Meaning, the forbidden ways are better than God's ways. Right? I'm here to tell you, God says marriage is awesome. The world says marriage is boring. Hello? That's a lie from hell. The world will say, hey, go have fun when you're young. If you got it, flaunt it. Hey, don't worry. Hey, you have it for a reason. Use it. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. I have given it. You are a jewel. You are a treasure. Don't throw it to the pigs. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. So the first, I want to show you her mouth. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16. It's even in Proverbs 7 that we saw. But she will deceive, she will lie to others for self-validation and gain. This strange woman, this adulteress. Look at Proverbs 2 and verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth her words, with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. In verse 16, it says, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Look at Proverbs 22:14. Proverbs 22, verse 14. Flattery is disingenuous. If someone is honest, they will give you a compliment. Right? But flattery overinflates. Right? I like that. Flattery will inflate a balloon. But it's still a balloon. Right? It puffs you up where you think you're good. It makes you think you're even better. You know it's not true, but you like the sound of the words anyway. Can I get a witness, guys? Oh, you're so strong. Right? Oh, do you work out?
Oh, yeah. Once a month, baby.
That is flattery. It's overinflating your self-worth that you know is not true, but you still like the sound of it. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 14. This is very instructive. The mouth, interesting, we're going to see the mouth is what it describes here. Because many times we think, well, how she looks. And we're going to get to that, no doubt. But look at this. The mouth of a strange woman is a what? A what, church? A deep pit. You know, in this culture, they would dig pits to capture and ensnare an animal when they were hunting it. We know this because in the other way, other parts of the Bible, like David's Mighty Men, it says that this man, he went and he literally caught a lion in a pit and went in and killed it. Like, that is crazy, right? But that this was part of their hunting strategy. And what it's saying is a deep pit. Have you ever been in a pit or a hole and thought, man, this looked a lot shallower before I jumped into it? And what is it? It's hard to get out of. A deep pit. He uses that adjective deep because he wants you to understand it's easy to fall into, but it will take a lot of time and work to what? He's saying it's a deep pit. It'll take a moment. It'll take, and what does it say? Her mouth. Her mouth. Her mouth. Her words. What, wouldn't it, shouldn't it say how she looks? Well, we'll get to that. But you know what I see? You know that according to a study in 2011, 85% of adultery, 85% of affairs occur with people you work with or people that work together. Okay? 85%. And you know how it starts? It starts out as innocent flattery. Oh, you do such a good job. I love when I work. You're the best to work with. And then it moves to some text messaging. And then it moves to some emails. And before you know it, you shared a little secret, right? Like some, you've been a little bit vulnerable. They've been a little bit vulnerable. And now you have this secret emotional relationship that your spouse does not know about. And once it's emotional, physical will follow soon after. What is that? It's a deep pit. It keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And it starts with her mouth, with her flattering. It says in the book of Proverbs, her words are sweet as honey. And they're smoother than oil. And you know what the sad fact is many times the enemy does not play fair. Have you noticed that about Satan and his strategies? He kicks you when you're what? You're in your weak, when you're down. He doesn't care. So men that are maybe having problems in their marriage and not getting godly counsel and not having good communication, or young men that are not really in a good place, following the Lord and are very tempted, she comes when you're weakest. And the Bible says her mouth is as a deep pit. Why? Because it starts innocent. It starts like, oh, look at that Grand Canyon. You know how many people die looking at the Grand Canyon? Just go Google it. It is mind-boggling. You know it's there, but you just can't help but fall in, right? It's mind-boggling how people will just fall and die in the Grand Canyon. And what is that? It's a deep pit. It starts out innocent. Oh, Isaiah, such a good... You're like my Denzel Washington. Flattery is overinflating what you think of yourself. But what is it? It's a lie. It's deceit. And this strange woman in her heart, she knows what she's doing. It's manipulative. It's manipulative. It's not, we saw she didn't follow the guide of her youth. She forgot the covenant of her God. She's not looking to her dad to help guide her or a spiritual authority in the church to help guide her. She's not looking to God. Why? She can manipulate it to get what I want. That is a temptation you ladies will have. I can manipulate men to get what I want. Because let's just be honest, men, women have a little bit of power over us if we're honest. And ladies, you can use your power for good or you can use it for evil. That's what the Bible's teaching in here. The strange woman, she understands that she can manipulate, she can turn something and even start something small that grows into something, all with her words of persuasion and suggestion. Abraham's wife, Sarah, she suggested, hey, go in unto my maiden. And Abraham listened to her. It wasn't wise counsel. It wasn't godly counsel. Ladies, be careful what you persuade and suggest to the men in your life. We are heavily influenced, even if we don't admit it. Amen. Heavily influenced. Make sure that it is God's voice through you. That way we're persuaded to good, amen? And not a fleshly or carnal manipulation. That is the strange woman. Why does she do that? For self-validation and gain. For self-validation and gain. I heard this advice from a father who has three daughters and one's getting married. I said, how do you bridge that from, teeny bopper love and puppy love and courting and dating to now married and in a committed relationship? And he said this, as a father, I spent time with my daughters. We went on dates. I told her that she was beautiful. I told her that I loved her because he said, I didn't want the first time she heard that from a young man. He said, if you give them the validation and the appreciation as their father, they won't go looking for it in the wrong places. And so that's a lesson for us men. But as ladies, you need to understand God created you with a need for validation, right? And it's not because okay, the Bible says in heaven there is neither marriage nor given in marriage. So in some terms, we will all be equal in heaven. But we are also equal here. Our value is the same, but our roles are different. And no matter what this education system tries to tell you, men and women are. Amen, church? It's sad you have to say that in 2024, right? Celebrate the differences, amen? How many men here are glad women are different? Hallelujah. And how many ladies are saying, man, I'm glad men are different, right? We are compatible. And what I'm saying is Eve was made to get validation ultimately from God, but a lot of times from God through Adam. And so, ladies, just recognize there's a spiritual way to get validation and there's a unspiritual and unclean way. And you recognize the temptation for validation and approval. The strange woman, she's lying for gain and self-validation to manipulate rather than getting it in the biblical way. In the biblical way. Let's go to Proverbs 31 and look at verse 26 and contrast that to the... So the strange woman, she's willing to lie. She's willing to manipulate for her own gain. She's willing to use deception. But look at Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26 at the wise woman and her words and her mouth. Proverbs 31 verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the what? You know what that word law means? It's a rule, means it's a constant. I can't go jump off of a skyscraper, Brother Isaiah, because of a little thing called the law of... It's a constant. So what is it saying here in this verse? It's saying that in her best day, in her worst day, right? When she's all dolled up and when she just woke up at 3 a.m. and the kids are screaming, right? In all, the rule, her regular practice, her constant, her mouth has wisdom, and that law, that constant, that rule of what? Kindness. You know what the wise woman knows? The wise woman is kind with her words even when it's difficult. And God says in the book of 1 Peter that her meek and quiet spirit is able to supernaturally win over her husband to the faith. There's a power in it, a spiritual power. Let me show you an example of this that it just blows my mind of how she is kind to others even in difficulty. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The strange woman, she used her words to get what she wanted, to get what she wanted to gain. And she's willing to lie and manipulate it to get that validation and to get that attention. But the wise woman is willing to be kind even when she doesn't get what she wants, even at her own expense. It's a law of kindness. It's a constant. It's a rule in her life. Matthew chapter 15, and look at verse 26. Okay, let's back it up to verse 22. So Jesus is in Tyre and Sidon. That's these cities outside of Judea where a lot of Gentiles were living. So he's there in Gentile country. In verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan, so she's not a Jew, came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And look at how he treats her initially, verse 23. But he answered her what? Not a word. Could you imagine? He's there with his disciples and they're going through and making their way through cities, Tyre, Sidon, and you know, they're traveling down this road, and this woman is crying out, hey, the son of David, have mercy on me. I have my daughter. She's vexed with the devil. No doubt she's traveled to find him, and he ignores her. He ignores her. He acts like she's not even there. And I think his disciples are starting to get, like, bugged out. Like, Jesus, can you just send her away? Right? Like, have you been around someone who's just like emotionally overwhelmed and it makes you feel uncomfortable, like you want to get out and leave? Right? That's the situation they're in. And look at verse 24. But he answered her and said, oh, look at verse 23. But he answered her not. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her what? So not even the disciples cared about her. Amen? So much for compassion. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24, but he answered, he's not even talking to her yet, but she can hear him. You get the picture? Have you ever been there and like you ask someone something and they ignore you but talk to you to someone else? Rude. What is he getting at? I'm going to show you. Because I think it's this principle of this wise woman, law of kindness has a supernatural pull and power to it. And it's this, verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she's not even been talked to. He's told this to his disciples, like, boy, I'm not sent to these Gentiles. But to she's not a sheep. I'm sent to you guys. So she hears this. He hasn't even looked at her. And looks at what she does next. Verse 25, then she came and what? Worshipped. Worship in this culture most likely is talking about her posture, that she probably threw herself down on the ground before him. Face to the ground, hands in the air, saying, Lord, help me. Now he finally answers her. He answered and said, it is not meet, meaning it's not part of the plan, it's not part of the mission, it's not what we're supposed to be doing, to take the children's bread and cast it to what? Woo! So that he calls her a dog. What is going on? This is so strange, right? But look at her response. I think God knew this woman's heart. I think he knew she had some wisdom about her, and he wanted to teach his proud and often arrogant and sometimes even manipulative disciples the power of the humble and kind request. Look at verse 27. She said what? Truth. I am a dog. But she said, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their what? She said, I am a dog. But Lord, I'm your dog. And I just want a crumb. Just a crumb off your table. Wow. Wow. Would you agree that was the law of kindness? The modern woman, the modern feminist would not answer that that way. Can we get a witness? Woo! They'd be going to the news channel. Guess what Jesus Christ called me? They'd be getting picketed. Man, they would go to the Congress. Like, we got to get a law against this, brother. Right? They'd be going after him. He called us a dog, not her. She respected him. She even submitted to him. When it seemed like she was being ignored, it seemed like he was being rough, when it seemed like he didn't care, she said, truth, Lord, but I'll be your dog if you just give me a little crumb off your table. In verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy what? Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made very whole from that very hour. The law of kindness when it's most difficult. Can I share with you, ladies, as a husband, when my wife has to correct me on something that I did and I made a boo-boo, okay, and sometimes worse than a boo-boo, and she comes to me and she says, honey, or whatever she wants to call me that day, but something endearing, she says, in a still and quiet and peaceable spirit, honey, I don't think this is right. I don't think we prayed about this. Honey, I saw you doing this, and you probably need to be doing this. With that, you know how big it makes me feel? Amen, man. You've been there? What is that? It's that spiritual power a woman can have with the law of kindness. I had a church member, and I messed up, and I didn't do something I should have with one of the services. And I was thinking, like, man, I goofed up, I messed up, I hurt her. I hurt her and her family. It's one thing to hurt someone, it's another thing to hurt their kids, amen? You know you got it with Mama Bear if you hurt their kids. And understandably so, I had messed up. And I remember her afterwards, and she was hurt. You could tell her cheeks were wet with tears from how I had hurt her. And I remember her saying, you know, Pastor, I just think, man, I don't deserve to be called that right now. She said, Pastor, I want you to know, maybe I would have done this differently, but I understand. And I felt that big. And you know what? I will never forget the lesson I learned that day. I will never forget that despite her pain and despite how I hurt her and injured her, she was still kind to me. What is that? The wise woman, in her mouth is the law of kindness. Instead of manipulating, which women have a power at, God is saying, ladies, you actually can be used of God to speak to a man in a spiritually powerful way to where he will, God will get through to him, and God will bring healing, and God will bring restoration in a way that will you never thought possible. This lady's daughter was healed. Amen. Jesus, he used that lesson to show that there is power in this law of kindness. A lot of times, ladies, you want to ask yourself, am I trying to use my words to manipulate, or am I trying to just simply promote the Lord? This strange woman, she was looking for self-promotion, but the wise woman, she's willing to have the law of kindness even if it means demotion. Why? Because then she knows God will show up. God can move in a man's heart that might be above her. God can move in a situation. Why? Because she's not going to get in the way. She's not going to get in the way. And then, lastly tonight, I want to show you her attire. We saw her mouth. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7 again. Go there. And then also go to with your other hand, 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9. Or you can just listen on. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10. You there? Okay, look at verse 10. Right? I've already read the verse. But look at Proverbs 7, verse 10. The strange woman dresses for attention and validation, but not the right attention. Amen. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a what? But don't miss what it says after this. And subtle of heart. You see that? You see that? This lady most likely wasn't a harlot, but she had the attire in a harlot. She put this scantily clothes on or whatever the harlots back then wore. But then it said this. She had the attire of a harlot, but she was subtle with her what? You know what God is saying here is it's not an attire problem, it's a what problem. Ladies, before you might not think about it this way, but as you dress immodestly, there's part of your heart. Subtle means planned. Subtle means sly. Subtle means cunning. Subtle means with evil intent. There's part of your heart that you may not even realize that is already kind of exploring and toying with the idea of an immoral relationship. You see? She put on the attire of an harlot because her heart was already thinking, well, maybe I'll just go have a little fun. Well, maybe I'll just get a little attraction, a little attention. And maybe it's not what God wants, but it sure be exciting. It sure beats being bored at the house, right? Her feet abideth not in her house, right? All I do is this, this, this. And man, when do I get attention? When do I get a validation? And be careful of that voice in your heart. Because that voice in your heart will have you put on things and bring on the wrong type of attention. It was a heart problem. It was a heart problem. She put on the attire of an harlot. Why? Because there was something in her heart that desired an immoral relationship. That desired that intimacy that God said was forbidden. And not in a biblical way. Listen to this quote. So this is a PhD that from the University of London. And she teaches at the Courtauld Institute of Art in London. And her PhD is in history and in fashion. She said this, there is an untold history of the relationship between, I'm not going to use the word she says, but street workers and fashion. She's a PhD in fashion and history. You know what she says? The influence of the clothing in our modern world is influenced heavily by those who go and sell themselves. She says it's in the 60s, it's in the 70s, it's in the 80s. You read kind of her articles. What is that saying? Hey, ladies, be careful of the influence of fashion on your life. The Bible says there is a fashion of this world, but the fashion of this world fadeth away. Right? Just be careful of that influence. Be careful what you're saying is good on social media and what's good on YouTube and what's good on websites. Be careful as you're in school and you look to see who has favor and who has beauty and say, well, they dress this way. Be careful because this PhD in the Bible says that there is an attire of an harlot and it will bring attention, but it's not attention you want. And just be mindful and wise of that. I was in Nampa, Idaho. It's a suburb of Boise, Idaho. And my friend had some pig farming. They grew pigs and would show their pigs at the fair. And one day I said, you know what? I would like to go see your pigs. So I jumped in the pig pen to discover this like 200, I'm not sure. It was a big mama pig. Huge pig. And it started charging me, man. Ever been charged by a pig? Hallelujah. That's not something you want to experience. And I'm jumping out. And as I'm jumping out, you know what I see about these pigs besides they're nasty and they're dirty? They're actually kind of smart, by the way. But there's a dead baby in there. And they're telling me, oh yeah, we have to, as soon as the babies come, we have to get those babies out because the sow will kill its own babies. It'll eat its own babies. I'm like, that is sick, amen? That is disgusting. I just remember walking like, man, I need to go bathe my mind from that experience. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 22? It says that a woman who's beautiful, right? But that, let me just quote it here. Proverbs 11 and verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know what I see as a father? Is I see beautiful, now that I have a daughter, beautiful girls that are someone's daughter and have been told a lie from hell that they need to cast their beauty to pigs and dogs. Pig in the Bible is a picture of the unregenerated man who's controlled by his own fleshly and sensual desires. And God said, you're valuable. Your beauty is valuable. You're a jewel of gold. Don't throw it to a pig. I have something better for you. But that's what this world says. It convinces you got to do this to be beautiful, and you got to do this if you have beauty. And that none of that is true. God says, you're a jewel. Don't throw it to the pigs. Don't throw it to the pigs. Let me show you 2 Kings chapter 9, Jezebel. And you can listen on 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. Jezebel has influenced a whole kingdom, northern Israel, to go after Baal, to worship Baal. She's killed God's prophets. She's imprisoned the prophets. Man, she convinced and persuaded her husband to kill innocent men like Nabal to steal their land. She has been wicked. Probably the most wicked, one of the most wicked women in all of the Scripture. And she hears this prophecy that there's a man called Jehu who's coming and judgment's coming to town. Sheriff's coming to town. Jehu, man, he's like the biblical Terminator. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger is Jehu. You got the picture? And he's coming in and he's just a killing machine. He's killing this person. He's killing this person because God has said enough. Judgment is coming. And you would think that as Jezebel here, Jehu's coming and they hear the chariots outside, she would be saying, God, I am sorry. God, I am broken. God, I've been a sinner. God, would you forgive me? You would think she would turn to God, but instead, listen to what she does in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out a window, and as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out on them two or three eunuchs, and he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall, on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman, bury her, for she is the king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Okay, now before I say this, I want our church to understand, if there's a new Christian Or if there is someone coming out and they don't understand modesty, right? We need to give them grace. Amen, church. We need to show them love because someone showed us love. Amen. And in time, they'll grow in grace just like you did. Amen. And in time, if we're patient and that we teach them, it's not the same as someone who like grew up in church and is choosing to rebel. We understand that, right? But back to Jezebel, Jehu's on the judgment path. She hears him coming, and instead of getting right, she's putting on her makeup, getting her hair, because maybe I can manipulate, maybe I can seduce him, maybe I can keep this charade going. And you know what that shows me? That, ladies, there's a temptation you'll struggle with, that instead of worshiping God, I want to worship me. The Bible says beauty is vain, favor is deceitful. Favor is like our word of popularity. And you can be popular, even have favor in the church or in your community circles, or you can have beauty and want to be the prettiest woman when you walk in. And that's a real temptation you might have, whether favor or beauty. But realize this, you don't want to replace that with the worship of God. Because the moment you do, like she did, down the road far enough, you'll be left with cold and callous men. This Jehu, he watched her die, and he went in and ate his dinner. Now that's a man's man right there. But still, that is cold and callous, right? They went out to find her body, he said, finally after he had his, you know, chicken wings. Oh, I guess we should bury her. She is a king's daughter. And they went out to find her, and the dogs had eaten everything but her hands. You know what that shows me? When you buy the lie that I need to doll myself up and manipulate the situation and flaunt my body and put on the attire of harlot, one day you'll get away with some things, you'll manipulate some things, but one day you'll end up bitter. You'll end up with weak men. You'll end up with men who are cold and callous towards the things of God. You'll be with men who don't have a love of God or a love of you, and you'll be thrown to dogs. Unregenerated man that has no spiritual desire in him. What am I saying? Why am I getting on this? Because I don't want that to be my daughter. Amen? And ladies, as we raise our next generation, hey, look, I get it. No one likes preaching on how you dress. And I look, dress might be different in your home than I have in my home, but have a stand. Have a conviction. Hey, this is the line. Why? Because ultimately it's not so much what you put on, it's about the heart. And there's a heart that says, man, if I can just flaunt it, if I can just put it on and I can just paint myself up, oh, maybe I can seduce, maybe I can manipulate. And say, God is showing us in this picture, hey, that can only get you so far. That can only get you so far. And the men you'll end up with are not the men you think. There was no shining knight in this story. That's the lie they're told. Well, if I do this, then I'll get my Romeo. Then I'll get my Hercules or whatever. You know, then I'll get you fill in the blank. But that's a lie because she ended up dying alone, surrounded by weak men and men that were cold and callous towards her, thrown to the dogs. Thrown to the dogs. And I want to finish, though, with the wise woman and her attire. The wise woman and her attire. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31, 25. Proverbs chapter 31. While you're there, let me read you this diary of this lady. She said, I would say that while there could be some exceptions, the majority of women dress scantily to attract attention. I can say this because I used to be one of them. As I grew into my late teens and early 20s, I developed an extremely attractive figure, and I showed it off to the fullest. Listen to what she says. I was fully aware of what I was doing. And other women that I knew that did the same thing knew exactly what they were doing. I got a lot of attention and relished it. I dressed immodestly because I wanted attention from men. It validated me. I always wanted to be the prettiest woman in the room. And oftentimes I was. This is what she says. I was a broken, sinful person who found worth in my appearance and was oftentimes empty. See, that's not what they don't tell you that on Facebook. Amen? You don't hear Taylor Swift saying, you know, I used to sing in the church and now I'm making my millions. But they don't tell you of the brokenness and the sin and the emptiness. And girls, don't be deceived by that. Listen what her folks did. They weren't saved. They weren't Christian. But they confronted me one day and told me I looked like a streetwalker. And if I went around looking like I was selling something, don't be surprised if I had some people make some offers. It made me mad. And can I say this? Ladies, I don't envy you, okay? But I have found it is very hard to talk to some of you about how you dress. And I want to maybe know why that is. And honestly, it's not my job, but are you dressing how if you're young, your father wants you to? You know about the strange woman? It says she forsaketh the guide of her youth. And if you're married, are you dressing how your husband would want you to? That's the authority God's put in your life. But she says it made me mad, this authority telling her not to dress this way. But I could not deny the truth in their words. I knew it was wrong to dress as I did because God had given me a conscience. Ultimately, more than your father, more than your husband, what is the Holy Spirit teaching you? That it was what did it for her. All the attention I received was dishonorable. There was not one honorable man among the many I dated. They all wanted one thing and treated me like a piece of meat. So we see here that this strange woman, she's putting on this attire. Why? To get the wrong attention and the wrong validation. But let's finish back here in Proverbs 31, verse 25. Talking about the wise woman, it says, strength and honor are her what, church? Her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Isn't it interesting that according to God, strength and honor are her clothing? It's not her beauty, but it's her service that the Lord says is her clothing. Isn't that interesting? Strength and honor are her clothing. You know, it says something similar in 1 Timothy 2:9 through 10, it says, in like manner also the women adorned themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. There was about 3,000 there, old USSR, Romania. A young Christian pastor, Richard Wurmbrandt, and his wife are part of the crowd that day. All the delegates have been invited, every pastor or even priest, every religious figure to this convention that the USSR was hosting in celebration of the Soviet Union. One by one, speakers got up like a rally, if you will, and declared themselves committed and faithful to the Soviet communist cause. Richard Wurmbrandt knew this was wrong, but knew the gulags and of the prisons that could be a consequence if he didn't go along with this pep rally the communists were having in his hometown. But he felt a jabbing at his side. And there, little sister Wurmbrandt, his beloved wife, they were only in their 20s, she said, you have courage and you have guts to tell the truth. And he said, but honey, you might not have a husband anymore if I do that. And she said this. She said, if you don't say anything, I don't want that kind of husband. Amen, man. That's a wife you need. Amen. So he got up there, and everyone had, like I said, been like praising the Soviet Union and communist is just as good as Jesus. And he come up there, and he preached against the sins of communism. And now Christ was the gospel, and that his death and burial and resurrection was the only hope. And man, they took him away. They took him away to prison. But that marriage lasted decades. And she herself went to a penal colony, but she won many ladies to the Lord, even in prison. What is that? A woman who's saying, my clothing is strength and honor. A woman who's saying, hey, it doesn't matter this costly apparel or braided hair. It's about serving my Savior. Why? Because the Lord says, it's not about your beauty, it's about your service. You know what is so practical with that? Is when you're thinking and concerned about serving others, you're not so much worried about wearing a short skirt. Can I get a witness? If you're asking yourself, man, if I run into someone and I have a I'm going to be able to tell them about Christ or bring up my Bible study or I'm in a prison leading ladies to Christ, you're not so much worried about, is this too low? I mean, can we just be real? Why? Because that's what God wants. God knows it's this. It's not about the outward, although that will come. No. Her clothing is strength and honor. Remember that, ladies, as you mold your daughters. As you are an example to our young ladies in our church, that can they look to you and say, you know what? She might not wear what do the ladies want these days? Armani, whatever. All right. Coach. You know, I know some nurses that they buy a $1,000 Coach purse once a month. I'm like, really? How many purses you got? 10. But I'm like, okay, that's besides the point. What our ladies need to see is a lady that says, no, more than my Coach purse, what am I doing for Jesus Christ? At the end of the day, that's what God is looking for. And he says, oh, that's a great woman. Holy women, the Bible says, 1 Peter, adorned themselves with good works. So let's be thinking about that. As we're men, knowing the test of the strange woman is coming, as we're ladies, well, I don't think we're any strange women in here, but wanting to be more of that wise woman, is my heart, is my clothing more important, or is my service to Jesus Christ what defines me? Are my words being used to persuade men for evil? Or am I using my law of kindness to persuade, like that lady with Christ and her daughter needed healing from the devil, to persuade men with the law of kindness for good? For good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this study. Pray, Lord, that honestly, Lord, even men, we could learn a lot from this Proverbs 31 wise woman. Lord, strength and honor are her clothing. I think a lot of times, Father, we're too focused on the clothes and not the man. We're too focused on the outward and not the weightier matters of the heart. And Lord, think about this law of kindness. Lord, it's so easy to have an edge, to be critical. Oh, they did this wrong or they did that wrong. But Lord, thank you, God, for the example of that woman who said, yes, Lord, I'm a dog. Yay. But even the dogs get a little bit of crumbs. Would that be us this week when our boss crosses our path, when we get into a fit with our spouse? Would that be us, God, during the week? That God, when something offends us or cuts us down, that we would respond with that law of kindness, realizing that's the spiritual power. Lord, we pray, God, you'd raise up young women that would not buy the lies of this world, that would not dress like the world, that would not speak like the world, but would show this world Christ. Lord, I pray for the young ladies that are in school, that are in neighborhoods where all the girls they know dress and talk a certain way. I pray they would know that God says they're valuable, that God says they're doing a good job. We pray for us as parents, you give us wisdom. As grandparents, help us to guide and encourage righteousness. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, help us to be more like this wise woman. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
you'll, all right, I wonder if you'll stand with me, please. We'll be singing hymn 221, A Child of the King.